Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
Finally landing on Earth, Ellen Ripley is awakened from her cryosleep to go back to living a normal life. The humdrum aspects of day-to-day living exhaust her with boredom. However, it's not that she was wanting to go back to life in space with aliens who were always trying to kill her. But on the evening of a full moon, Ripley took a walk through a still-standing forest to get away, but for a moment. It is then that a howl could be heard in the distance, then heard closer, and then heard closer, until the sight of the werewolf by night stands on the edge of a clearing, ravenously growling and staring down Ripley. Not one to be caught unprepared, Ripley grabbed all available tech on her person and quickly contemplated the best course of action to survive. It's 70s sci-fi horror versus 70s comic book horror. It's Final Girl versus Big Bad Wolf. It's Ellen Ripley versus Werewolf by Night. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one, the only, Ray Stakanis. Shocktober continues with a matchup so epic that the more I think about it, the more I can see this as an actual big-budget summer blockbuster style of movie. I really can. In one corner, you have Ellen Ripley, a resilient, resourceful, iconic image survivor who repeatedly confronts deadly xenomorphs. And in the other corner, you have the werewolf by night, a man who transforms into a powerful feral werewolf under the moonlight, balancing his monstrous nature with a desire to protect the innocent. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed, and it's been a while. But it finally happened. This matchup has not been discussed anywhere, anytime, anyhow, which means we're bringing you, the Legion of Audience, another premier geek culture matchup, and you're welcome. Ray, I gotta know, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I can't believe I am saying this, but I agree with James Gavsey in this moment. This what? Is absolutely a movie I would pay real-world dollars, euros, yen, I'd pay any currency to see it, and I would be happy to do so. Look, Werewolf by Night is somebody that the boardroom, you all brought it up in the boardroom. I wasn't very familiar with it, even though I saw that Marvel black and white special, what, from a year or two ago for Halloween? That was excellent, but I don't know a lot about this character. I had to do a quick learn. But of course, Ellen Ripley, this is her second time on the show before. We had her, I believe, last year in Showdown September. And she's back again. You repped her last time. Now it's my turn to get in the Ripley chair. I just love the idea. We should be doing this more with horror films, of finding iconic heroes, iconic villains, and then fighting them wherever and mixing and matching and switching them around. I wish there was more media where you could do stuff like that.
If only there was. Look, this matchup was really interesting because we were talking about Werewolf by Night. We'll see. We were talking about Werewolf by Night, really cool character, and thinking, okay, who do we put up against this anti-hero kind of like cool horror character? And then Ray's like, I got an idea. This is right in the production, you know, with the production team in the boardroom. And he's like, I just think Ellen would be the best villain whatsoever, best opponent for Werewolf by Night. And I'm like, absolutely not. I completely disagree. Ellen DeGeneres is insanely way too powerful for Werewolf by Night. We're talking a Thanos-level opponent at least. And then Ray said, no, Ellen Ripley. And I'm like, that's even better. This makes so much more sense. This is going to be an epic episode. Look, this matchup was inspired by our guest judge, and you're going to see why. Because making another appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's the president of Van Ryder Games. It's the designer of the absolutely epic Final Girl board game. On a side note, buy Final Girl right now. Trust me, it'd be the best thing you ever did. You know how it is. It's AJ Porfirio. AJ, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I'm super excited to be here and judging another matchup.
Well, look, the last time you were on the show, you kind of created this epic storyline for the characters we were repping. And I just got to tell you, the expectations are even higher this time around. That's why we want you back on, to just craft the story of how whoever's going to win this thing. But before we get into it, tell our fan base, Legion of Audience, what you've been up to recently.
Yeah, so I've been doing the thing for Van Ryder Games. We continue to develop and create. We talked about last time we had Final Girls Series 3 kickstarted. We are now getting to the end of that project where we're getting ready to deliver it probably in the next couple of months. I think we're looking at, you know, turn of the new year, early January, maybe February at the latest, getting it out to folks. And so very excited about that. We're going to have 5 new feature films, each with a new killer and location. So even more mixing and matching, which we know you guys love, we know your fans love. And it's that time of year at Halloween, so it's considered one of the best board games out there, and we'd love for your fan base and anyone check it out.
I love it. It's an absolutely fantastic. All the games are absolutely fantastic. I love the stories behind it and the storytelling of the gameplay. So with these new storylines coming out and the new gameplay coming out, what is the story? Which one of these is inspired? Where the villain's inspired by Ray Stikanis?
That would be the Jester. No, we'll need to create one of those, right? Like Ray's honestly, I think, one of the funniest people I've ever met. So like, I would love to homage him somehow. I know he's a huge fan of the game, and yeah, that would be awesome. Well, I'll have to think about that. Maybe we'll do a Ray homage and a James homage somehow.
That's what I'd love. I would love to have a final girl character that it would be the female alternative Ray character, R-A-Y-E. That's a lady's name, to my understanding, and have her just be absolutely ridiculous. Maybe lots of distractions. Maybe that's what that character gets known for, by just shouting all the time.
I mean, I don't even know if we need to add the E. Maybe we just change the A to E, because we know there's a character of a certain pop culture, you know, huge movie trilogy. Yeah.
You're not wrong. You heard it here first. Lightsabers are
there
coming to Final Girl.
It's all but a confirmation.
You know, I have no idea what franchise you're referencing. Listen, when you're going to bring me into the game, as I know you will, you'll be just look at what Kevin Conroy did for Batman and just put me in that role for your game.
Oh boy.
Trust me, your job is done. Or you could do the whole Ray thing and, you know, see what happens. I'm just trying to give you great ideas here. All right. Look, we got AJ Porfirio on the show. We got a great judge. We've got Ripley. We've got Werewolf by Night. It is time to get this party started. Ray, do what you do and announce today's matchup.
Representing the Aliens franchise, the character who was such a hero, she was jonesing to save the cat, Ellen Ripley. And representing Marvel Comics, the werewolf who got himself a YouTube channel, and he'd really like you to like and subscribe, Werewolf by Night.
Really?
I couldn't be prouder of either of those. I'm not going to lie.
I oddly enough, I think you're upping your game. That's pretty interesting.
That is not saying a lot.
I know. It's a good try. Well done, Ray. Is not something I can say right now. But before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit sayward.co/collections. That's sayward.co/collections. And click on the Who Would Win merch section to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts, hats, hoodies, and our very own proprietary 3D printed Who Would Win versus stand. And now let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Ripley.
First off, I'm going to say I'm going to be using the version of Ripley from Aliens 1, 2, and 3. Get that clone stuff out of here. I want pure Ripley without the acid blood. I'm just going to put it out there because James in the boardroom and every single shadowy member of the Who Would Win a boardroom association yell at me every single week for not actually saying which version of the character I'm repping in this section. I am getting ahead of it this time. Ellen Louise Ripley is the main protagonist of the Aliens series of movies. She was created by Dan O'Bannon, Ronald Shusett, and Ridley Scott, keep it real. Ripley was played brilliantly by Sigourney Weaver and first appeared in the movie Alien back in 1979. The spaceship Nostromo was en route back to Earth when a message of unknown origin interrupted their stasis-assisted sleep trip. Going to check it out, an alien creature came on board the ship and killed almost everyone. Not counted amongst the dead, though, was Warrant Officer Ripley, who blows up her ship to kill the monster and then kicks it out of an airlock at her escape craft when that, of course, did not work. Now, Ripley is strong-willed and tenacious, able to think her way through even the most cosmically terrifying of scenarios. Later on in this series, she has a clone, but of course, we're not talking about that. Fun fact, science fiction and horror films are not often respected by the critics at large. But did you know that Weaver's portrayal of Ripley was so amazing that she was actually nominated for an Academy Award for the sequel Aliens in 1987? I didn't know this, but it's true. Now, she didn't win the award for Best Actress, losing out to Marlee Matlin that year. But just getting nominated for an action-slash-horror-slash-sci-fi film in the 1980s of all time periods was huge in getting a foothold of respect for all three genres, and that helped us get to where we are today culturally, I think. Because all movies are action, horror, or sci-fi these days. Go figure. Anyway, I'm still appreciating, and that is Ripley.
Very cool. Now, here are the details for Werewolf by Night. Now, the character of Werewolf by Night, also known as Jack Russell, first appeared in Marvel Spotlight number 2 in February of 1972 and was created by Jerry Conway, Roy Thomas, and Mike Ploog. Jack's story is rooted in family tragedy. His ancestors were cursed with lycanthropy, I guess is how you pronounce it, turning themselves and him into a werewolf. Over the years, Jack has cemented himself into the supernatural aspects of the Marvel Universe, often crossing paths with characters including Moon Knight, Doctor Strange, and Morbius in groups like the Midnight Suns. Jack's journey is defined by a struggle to balance his humanity with the curse that haunts him, often forcing him to walk a fine line between being a monster and a protector, but always, always somehow ending up firmly planted in the role of anti-hero. And here's an interesting fact about Werewolf by Night. Did you know that the MCU one-shot of Werewolf by Night that came out a little while ago was not the first time he appeared on screen in live action? It's true. Though many find it hard to believe, Gael Garcia Bernal's upcoming, the portrayal of the character wasn't the first live action appearance by Werewolf by Night. I'm talking about the MCU version that showed up on Disney Plus. Jack Russell, the character, first appeared on the silver screen in Blade Trinity. Russell appears, of course, Russell being the alter ego of Werewolf by Night, appears in one of the movie's deleted scenes where Wesley Snipes Blade and Ryan Reynolds' Hannibal King track him down at a casino. And if there's one thing Race to Canis has been requesting more of, it's information of a character related to deleted scenes. You're welcome, Ray.
How dare
and
you.
Now you have the facts on both opponents. AJ, do you have any questions before we get started?
No, I'm excited to get this matchup going. Let's do it.
That's great. Ray, did you like that whole deleted scene thing? Because I'm just going to put it out there. I wanted to kind of give you a Shrek versus Nemesis thing one more time,
James,
for this episode.
As long as you're not using deleted scenes in your arguments as the focal point of how you achieve victory, I'm perfectly fine with deleted scenes. Am I still a little chapped about it? Am I still a little bit raw that I lost Shrek versus the freaking Nemesis because of a deleted scene? No, I'm perfectly over it.
I'm so happy to hear that. I am only referencing deleted scenes for Werewolf by Night this entire episode.
Then good
Let's
luck.
Just see what happens.
Each one of your points will be 3 seconds long.
You're not wrong. All right, Ray, let's do this. Hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Ellen Ripley. We're going to talk a little bit about her strength. We're going to talk a little bit about her force of will. Because I think one thing that really is going to separate these two characters, and I hate to use the go there factor because it's so overdone on shows like this, but I'm going to talk a little bit about the tenacity and the ability to stay in the fight even as you're taking personal losses yourself. Because Ellen Ripley takes a beating in every single one of these movies, And she does not fall. She does not go down. She keeps it going because she has to, because she doesn't have a choice. The werewolf can always scamper back into the forest, turn back into a human, and go back to eating scones at a Airbnb somewhere if he wants to. But Ellen Ripley really has to fight or else she's done. Life is over. And look, she's can be very, very strong. I've seen her tear down a metal door using only her bare hands before. I understand that Werewolf by Night can probably do the same thing, but Ellen is not Werewolf by Night. She's a person, and the fact that she can rise to that level of strength is pretty important to me. Heck, I once saw her KO a man with one punch. I'm not trying to compare her to One Punch Man, the anime character, but maybe a little bit. I'm trying to compare her to One Punch Man, the anime character, but only if that works for you. Look, she was in a room with a facehugger. Facehugger, as we all know, is the strongest, believe it or not, of all the different forms of the xenomorph, right? He is rough, tough, and men cannot overpower the facehugger. Once it gets in range, you can't keep it from going on your face no matter how hard you grab it. It's like magnetic pull. Well, she was able to hold back a facehugger multiple times. In fact, she once used a bed, like lifting it up to stop it, and then slammed the bed down on top of it, because she's a very good improvisational fighter as well. And the strength feat, you know, I got to bring up if we're talking about this. She once used a ladder she was grabbing onto to avoid the vacuum of space and pull herself up the ladder so that way she could get out of that situation. Did I mention that there was a xenomorph queen holding onto her leg while she was pulling herself up this ladder? Outrageous. I appreciate Werewolf by Night, but this is like when you beat the vacuum of space as a person, not as a superpowered individual, but as a person, you gotta say that force of will must be one of the strongest we've ever seen committed to film. Look, Ripley has been slashed. She's been burned. She's been thrown around. She's been smacked by everything in their movies. And she keeps on going. She was in an elevator that fell and crashed, and she was able to walk away safely from that. Look, she's the type of character who can take on androids. She can take on xenomorphs in all forms, including Xenomorph Queen, and come out on top. I'd like to hear the type of characters that Werewolf by Night has beaten in his comics, because I can nearly guarantee you none of them match up with the Xenomorph Queen. And she's beaten it multiple times. Heck, Ash the Android, she got into a fight with a robot, and she took off his head so she could talk to him more without fear of getting punched any longer. At the end of the day, despite the fact that physically you would think that Werewolf by Night, it would overmatch her, I have too much circumstantial evidence to point to say that no, in fact, he would not. And that's my point number one.
First of all, I don't even believe Ray can spell circumstantial evidence, never mind actually in a compelling argument.
None.
First, on top of that, eating scones, I mean, that's fantastic. I'm glad Ripley can do that. You know, it's the future. They have food replicators, scones are a thing. Facehugger, Ray, that's not the most powerful of all of the creatures within the alien family, so to speak. The facehugger is powerful. I'm not going to say it's not. But look, Ray, you and I off screen talked about, I'm just going to use air quotes here, facehuggers we've had to deal with, you from Detroit, me from Northern Canada, and we were both able to push them away and not be infected by whatever that was going on with them. My whole point is that's cool. That's fair. That's cool, but it's not really that big of a feat. Ripley's got good upper body strength. She goes to this place that Ray has never been to. It's called the gym. And when she held onto the ladder, she wasn't climbing up the ladder. She held onto it, which is still pretty impressive, but she wasn't like climbing up the ladder with a whole bunch of like weighted stuff on her. She just held on, which was really cool. And that's good too. And you know, Ray, you just said that the Werewolf by Night takes on characters that don't measure the same way as a xenomorph does. I got to agree with you. They are way more powerful than a xenomorph. Most of them, if not all of them, are insanely more powerful and crazier, more dangerous than a xenomorph. But let's get into that later on, because now I got to get to my point number one. My point number one, we got to talk just about, you know, the facts of the Werewolf by Night's powers, the physicality, to show just, unfortunately, how badly this fight's going to go for Ripley. Now, first of all, he's got superhuman strength. He's lifted more than 2 tons without breaking a sweat. He's thrown grown men across parking lots, smashed through reinforced steel doors like they were paper mache or papier-mâché, as they say in French. And Werewolf by Night number 13, he straight up throws a car to stop a criminal. How do you stop a criminal? You throw like a bench or maybe, you throw a car at him. That's some strength right there. On top of that, he's got superhuman stamina. He can fight at his peak for many, many hours at a time without getting tired. That's going to be a big factor in this fight. He's got superhuman speed and reflexes. He can run at over 60 miles per hour. He can easily dodge gunfire at close range. In Marvel Team-Up's number 93, he dodges Spider-Man's webbing mid-fight, and Spidey himself admits that Werewolf by Night is just too fast to pin down. And at over 60 miles per hour, the Werewolf by Night is much faster than a Xenomorph. Trust me on that. Now he's got enhanced senses. He's a werewolf, of course. He can smell fear and blood. Fear and blood, Ray. That's what you smell walking into any time you're done with Burger King. The thing is, he can track enemies even when they try to match their scent. He can hear a heartbeat in a crowded room. In Werewolf by Night number 7, he tracks a villain through the sewers of New York City just by their scent. That's insane. Look, I got it. Ripley's got a motion tracker, I think. But Jack's going to hear that thing before it even starts beeping and then find her before she can react. Look, he's also got claws and fangs. He's a werewolf. Of course, he's got those. They can slice through metal, bone, stone. In Werewolf by Night number 8, he rips through a reinforced vault door and tears apart a group of armed mercenaries in seconds. His bite's no joke either. Crushing bones in a single snap, child's play for him. Ripley's going to wear a helmet, maybe, I don't know. It's shredded. Pulse rifle, chewed up before she can do anything. He's also got insane durability. This is actually really cool. He can tank bullets. He can tank impact forces that are huge. Energy blasts, falls from great heights, exposures to crazy temperatures. None of that gives him a really bad injury. Keep in mind that this is someone who traded blows with the Hulk and kept on fighting. If getting punched by the Hulk doesn't stop you, I'd bet $1 million that Ripley doesn't have something better than that up her sleeve, as resourceful as she is. He's got night vision. He can see perfectly in total darkness. It's pitch black or whatever. Ripley needs equipment. He does not. That's a fact. Also, real cool thing, he has this great power of regeneration, a health factor, a healing factor, I should say. It's not just fast, it's insane. In Tomb of Dracula number 18, he survives a stab wound through the heart and heals in seconds. He's walked off gunshot wounds, if the guns can even get through him. That's some high caliber stuff. He's walked off broken bones, like minor inconveniences. His healing factor is so fast, he can regenerate his own head super fast after having it blown away by Deadpool. And keep in mind that Jack Russell, the alter ego, can transform into the Werewolf by Night whenever he wants. It's now something completely under his control. Look, Ripley's a legend, no doubt, but against Werewolf by Night, she's way out of her league. Jack's combination, strength, speed, super senses, relentless healing, makes him pretty much an unstoppable force. Plus, he's got claws that can shred all their gear. All of that is my point number one.
I mean, that's fine, James. I'm not going to sit here and argue that, physically speaking, Werewolf by Night is not more powerful naturally than Ripley. He would have to be. If he wasn't, he'd be a pretty crap werewolf, to be quite honest with you. The argument that I will make here is that his weaknesses are much more than Ellen's, and Ellen is much more of a fighter at the end of the day than he is. And I'll tell you why. Because werewolves in the Marvel Universe have a weakness to silver. Now, you mentioned before, Ripley needs equipment in order to beat him. Well, I'll tell you, thankfully, she has access to a lot of equipment just being who she is naturally. Did you know that silver is a commonly occurring substance in many technologies because of its electrical and thermal conductivity and its resistance to corrosion and oxidation? I just wanted to sound smart for 2 seconds. It's found in a variety of electronics, including microchips, batteries, circuit boards, and television. The point is, the one thing that Werewolf by Night is going to be weak to is going to be the one thing that Ripley around her will have in abundance and will no doubt even accidentally discover when she sticks him with something that has silver in it, that's going to hurt him really bad.
Ooh, I got a great rebuttal to that already. But before we get to that, let's see what our judge has to say. AJ, you've heard 1 point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Yeah, this is building up to be a fascinating, I think, battle. I think, you guys have done tons of shows, but for me, this is one where understanding and knowing the setting might be more important than most battles, because Ripley's a different beast on the ship, right? And with her technology. And so hopefully I'm not jumping the gun. You guys may be getting to this, but that's a big deal. Like, I want to know, is that in play, or are we on a Earth, setting on land and in a city or wherever, where I would give probably the wolf a little more advantage. So definitely some great points in round one. really want to hear what you guys got in the next round.
All I can say to that is, remember, the Who Would Win rules kind of state it's a neutral location, no prior knowledge, no time to prepare. So whatever the environment is, it neither favors nor hinders either one of the opponents in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
So great. As the judge, right, that's where you're kind of coming from, which is why these battles are so different than your typical, like, death battle is really cool and what have you. But this one's very different because the rules are what separate who would win from everyone else. All right. This matchup is going to be insane. Stay tuned for point number two.
There are many reasons why you might want to learn a new language. Maybe you're looking to improve your resume and switch jobs. Hey, maybe you want to be more in touch with your family overseas. I don't know, maybe you just want to watch anime in its original form. Well, the folks at Rosetta Stone are here to help you get started, and they are ready to immerse you in the language that you want to learn. Look, Rosetta Stone has been at the top of their game for decades now, and they are bringing it with 25 languages that will get you understanding and speaking fast with their time-tested process. Hey, a lifetime membership gives you access to everything. I'm just saying. Anyway, you can learn anytime, anywhere, on your desktop or in the app, and it's not just one-sided instruction. No. True Accent is a feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation, so it's like a personal trainer, but it's for your accent, not your triceps, right? Well, don't put off learning that language anymore. There's no better time than right now to get started. Now, Who Would Win show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Just visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. Rosetta Stone, up your culture game.
And we're back. Ray, do what you got to do. Hit us with your point number two.
Yeah, and to talk a little bit further about that location, AJ, at the end of the day, you decide as the judge where this battle takes place, keeping in mind that the things that both of these characters would normally have access to probably are going to be around, but it's not like we're going to be fighting these two in a phone booth, which would be great for the werewolf, and it's not like we're fighting them on Ripley's ship that she knows inside and out, and he doesn't know anything about it, because that would greatly favor her. But it's a place where both of them have access to the stuff that they need. Maybe not in abundance, but it's going to be there. Important point to say. Now, we're going to talk in point number two for Ripley about her smart thinking, as well as her training. Because I don't know a ton about Jack Russell. I looked him up a little bit, and I'm still learning, as he is kind of an older character who's being remade new. And I didn't know walking in the door which version James is going to have. Pretty sneaky, James, but I wasn't sure exactly which one to prepare for. But first off, Ripley, besides being ridiculously smart and savvy, she has PTSD. Now, that is very, very sad, but she's been through multiple alien encounters which have physically scarred her and mentally scarred her as well, to the point where she's having nightmares about birthing an alien out of her chest in one of the movies. But while that is sad and not something I would wish on anybody, it means that she is alert to threats at all times. This is a character who does not let their guard down because they physically can't do it. And I can appreciate, James, you having this weird belief that the werewolf is going to be able to sneak up on her in the darkness and then jump out at her. But that's the life that she's lived of creatures she doesn't understand lurking in the darkness and jumping out at her. So she will be constantly prepared for that. Always be shining a light in the dark corners and always ready to put herself in an advantageous position, intellectually, right? Remember, in part, she didn't want to let the infected guy onto her ship because she understood that that could go very, very badly. And of course, nobody listened to the smart lady. They listened to the blowhard and they let the guy on the ship and then everybody but her died. Listen to the smart lady once in a while. It will be great life advice in general, as far as I'm concerned. But she was smart enough to make the hard decisions, right? She will make the tough decisions of how to win because she can figure out the win and go right to it. Remember, she used a makeshift tracking device on the Nostromo in order to find out where the aliens were moving. That figured out movement by identifying changes in air density. That's the level of brain that she's bringing to the table. She's like, the air is slightly different here, and it just changed. Therefore, an alien just walked through that air vent. That's the type of amazing scientific thinking that she can use in the moment correctly in order to win her the battle. But let's not forget, she's got military training as well. She opens the first movie as a warrant officer. That's not just some scrub soldier. That's somebody who's put in some work and gotten themselves some promotions. That's a pretty decent ranking. And if you in the future army, remember these movies take place, I believe it's like somewhere around the year 2100, which means that all of the combat and all of the weapons and equipment and knowledge of military history up to the level of the year 2100 is all going to be in play as stuff that she would have learned. There are combat maneuvers that she knows that Werewolf by Night could not have even dreamed of in the 1970s. So she's going to be fighting on a much higher level, bigger, stronger, faster than anything that he's ever seen before. She understands as well how to turn anything into an improvised weapon. And given that this is a who would win battle where there's just going to be stuff around, he's going to be relying on his strength and his claws and his teeth. Let's keep it real. She's going to be looking around like she's Jason Bourne, and she's going to be wedging and hodgepodging some stuff together like she's Chuck Green in Dead Rising 2. And next thing you know, she's got a boat oar with chainsaws on it that she's whipping around trying to hit him, right? And let's not forget, in the moment, she used the thrusters of her escape pod to burn the xenomorph off of the side of the ship and propel it into space and far, far away from her. She thinks in the moment, scientifically, rationally, and smartly, which is the best I got, and she will figure out a way to win using the environment around her no matter what it is, and that's my point number two.
Look, I'm not going to take away anything from Ripley, this iconic character, because, Ray, you're right, she is, in my opinion, she's very, very intelligent, very resourceful, but she's very intelligent and very resourceful and very somewhat effective when she has time. And this is where, you know, why movies are 2 hours long. It's through a whole process of people being eliminated, whatever. And then she's figuring stuff out as stuff's happening and, you know, kind of gets there at the end, sort of. That's not going to be the situation for a who would win matchup. Again, it's a random encounter and they're just going right away. Okay, first of all, to kind of go back, silver isn't something that really affects Werewolf by Night the same way Kryptonite does Superman. If Werewolf by Night is close by to silver, it doesn't do anything to him. If he gets hit with silver somehow, it's got to get into him in certain parts. Plus, he's got a healing factor, so it doesn't really keep him down for long. And finally, I checked before we got into this, the bullets that were issued by the government or by that organization that Ripley is part of, they're not made of silver. Silver, by the way, is pretty expensive. When you have a ton of bullets, you're not putting your most expensive materials into the bullets. That's not going to be a thing. It's not in the knives. It's not in any of the weapons there. And just because he's close by to it, doesn't matter. Ray, look, her nightmare of birthing an alien where it pops out of her chest is actually what happened in the third Alien movie, where somehow with her guard being let down, she got, you know, somehow implanted with an alien embryo, whatever, and it popped through her chest. So she had no choice but to heroically off herself in the third movie because, again, she couldn't get away with it. So, which is unfortunate. I hated that ending, but, you know, she did what she did. She got taken out by the alien at the end where she had to take herself out. She didn't survive. And finally, Werewolf by Night, listen, in terms of fighting, he takes out mercenaries, samurai, soldiers of all types who are armed with high-tech weapons all the time and doesn't break a sweat and has a great record against them. No offense to Ripley, but what she brings to the table with her weaponry, it's not going to be anywhere near as effective against what, you know, Werewolf by Night has already taken out. Now, let me get to my point number two. My point number two, let's just talk about the intangibles that this character brings to the table. Now, first of all, he's got what's called lycanthropic rage. Jack Russell, you know, this character, he can choose to go into an unstoppable rage when fully transformed. In Moon Knight number 29, when the Werewolf by Night goes into this lycanthropic rage, it's very similar to Wolverine's berserker mode. It takes Moon Knight, 3-armed mercenaries, and a tranquilizer the size of a javelin to even slow him down. And even then, he still almost rips Moon Knight literally in half. Ripley's tough, I get it, but she's never dealt with someone who can Hulk out this hard. Xenomorphs, I hate to say it, it's child's play compared to what a werewolf can do on a rampage. He's got an even more powerful form. This is cool. It's called Moon Empowerment. See, under a full moon, Jack can choose to kind of, I don't know, become significantly stronger, harder hurt. If there happens to be a full moon, his strength's going to double, his speed's going to double, his healing becomes pretty much instantaneous. And this is something that's really cool because under this kind of way of this moon empowerment, he actually took on an entire cult of vampires and he came out without a scratch and ripped them all apart. And again, no amount of preparation helps against a werewolf supercharged by moonlight. Again, he can transform without any moon involvement. Over time, this character learned how to transform at will, pretty much breaking free from, like, you know, being tied to the phases of the moon, which was part of the character back in the 70s and 80s. That's no longer a thing. He can willfully control when he transforms and when he transforms back to a human. It's all under something he can do. As a result, he does something really cool. It's like slight shape-shifting control. In Werewolf by Night, he used this human form, like his original form, and then he just blended into like where his enemies were. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, who's this guy, whatever. And then just when he's in the middle of this crowd, just turns into the werewolf and starts tearing people apart, catching him by surprise. Look, just picture this. Jack calmly walks up to Ripley as a regular guy. Then, bam, full werewolf mode. He just raced to Canis as her, like raced to Canis a Burger King. It's not something you want to watch. He's also got amazing stealth and hunting skills. Look, this is really, really important to this fight. This character, it's not just a brute. He's really an incredible hunter. He knows how to stalk prey. He knows how to move silently. He's one of the best in the Marvel Universe at ambushing his enemies. If Ripley thinks she's good at hiding from xenomorphs, wait till she meets a werewolf who specializes in hunting humans, especially humans who have large amounts of firepower. Look, in Werewolf by Night number 16, he tracks and ambushes Moon Knight without being detected until it's way too late. And even when, you know, he's going up against Sabretooth, he caught Sabretooth by surprise. To put that in perspective, Sabretooth is well known for using stealth and stalking his prey, whomever they are, catching him by surprise. And this is what Werewolf by Night did to Sabretooth. Good luck with that, Ripley. Look, finally, Werewolf by Night is an incredible fighter. His hand-to-hand combat ability is off the freaking charts. Morbius, you know, that character, the living vampire, calls him an inhuman killing machine, which is insane. This is someone who's outfought groups of samurais wearing advanced tech and armor, as I referenced before. They all had advanced weapons. They all had silver-based samurai swords, like made out of silver, and none of them could even touch Werewolf by Night. Look, I love Ripley, but we can all admit that she's never dealt with anything like the Werewolf by Night. You got to trust me on this one. That's my point number two.
I don't trust you on this one, quite frankly. You'd say an inhuman killing machine, you know, like a xenomorph queen could be referred to as. And you say, oh, I don't know how she got implanted in the third one. Wasn't she implanted while in cryo sleep and there was nothing she could do about it? Am I remembering that totally wrong? This is also the point. She can make the hard decisions to win the battle. That's why she threw herself, what did that, molten lava or whatever. And you're talking about Werewolf by Night switching to human form in the battle. That would throw away every single one of his advantages for no good reason whatsoever. I hope he does that. He'll be run through before you could say Jack Robinson. Look, she does not trust strangers. She's had androids go evil on her before. She's had corporations lie to her through their teeth. If suddenly she stops fighting Werewolf by Night and some rando dude she doesn't know start walking up to her, she's not just going to let down her guard and be like, hug it out. No, that's not who Ripley is. She's going to be able to outthink him in battle, especially when he takes on a feral, monstrous form and loses a little bit of that intelligence. Lest we forget, Moon Knight, very early on in his career, KO'd the Werewolf by Night and captured him. How? Because there was silver in his spiked gauntlets, and just through normal fighting, wore him down and knocked him out and captured him. No talk of a healing factor. He just got. Now, my question is, we know from the party scene that Ellen Ripley is a drinker. Will she, in fact, be drinking Coors Light, aka the Silver Bullet? And will she be using these cans in battle? If she does, I think we have an easy victory for Ellen Ripley.
A horrible joke could be made right now, but I'll refrain because I like to take the higher road. It was horrible, but there's an even more horrible one we could throw in there. And we're at the turning point. AJ, you've had a moment to ponder two points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Well, I mean, if we go by simple algebra, we could look at it as, and sorry, James, but I think you underestimate the perfect organism, the xenomorph, and its ability, I think the Werewolf by Night would have a difficult time with it at best. So if we do that algebra, we know Ripley has beaten the Xenomorph, and we know I think the Xenomorph would beat the Wolfman. That would say Ellen's in the lead, right? But as we know, in all competitions, it's not algebra, it's not math. It can go either way. The underdog can win. And I actually don't even think the Wolfman is the underdog here. I think you throw that algebra out the window completely, even though I think the Xenomorph would beat the Wolfman. I think the Wolfman has the Werewolf by Night has a huge advantage over Ripley, especially on a neutral ground. I mean, so much of, yes, she's super smart, as Ray has pointed out, and she is not going to be easy to kill, even for the Werewolf by Night. But I think from the cases you guys have made so far, and just the backdrop we have right now, I'm giving the slight edge to the Werewolf by Night. And Ray, I think what you got to do, you know, to convince me otherwise is, you know, how is Ripley going to overcome this potential disadvantage of not being able to airlock this guy and not being able to, you know, you brought up the fire from the pods and all of those things are things Ripley has done on the Nostromo. So if we take her out of that environment, you know, convince me that she can win outside that environment.
This is interesting because, yeah, you know, let me just put it this way. I've often felt a little too confident at the end of point number two, and then Ray pulls something out of the air. I don't know. I'm not going to be confident at all. I'm ready for this. I'm actually excited for what Ray's about to do. You should be as well. Stay tuned for point number three. And we're back. Ray, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three, I'm going to talk a little bit about the heavy machinery and weapons and equipment that she will no doubt have access to in this battle. Look, if, as I said before, if we put these two in a phone booth with no equipment, Werewolf by Night wins in roughly 2.7 seconds. But that's not where we're at. We're in a neutral location where she is going to have access to some of the things that she would be accustomed to in her world. Which means, one, as I mentioned before, she's from the year, you know, mentally like 2100, which means that we look at how much science has progressed between the year 2024, where we are now, and say 1900. We went from, you know, barely understanding steam engines to now the internet and all of the above. So the amount of science that once again is going to be understood 75, 100 years in the future, and the fact that she is scientifically gifted for that era on top of it means that she's going to be able to use science. Remember Ash in the movie Army of Darkness using gunpowder and making it using an old chemistry notebook from his high school days, and then attacking an army of the dead that had no preparation for arrows that could explode? That's what I'm talking about with Ellen Ripley. She's going to be able to invent and create things on the fly using science that Werewolf by Night couldn't even fathom in his own head. And that's going to keep her one step ahead of him at all times. She's not above setting traps and luring the Werewolf by Night into an area where he's going to feel safe and then effectively dropping the house on him afterwards, right? Normally speaking, she carries a stun rod on her as part of her standard equipment, and a bunch of electric jolts from a future tech weapon is definitely going to have an impact on a werewolf at the end of the day, especially because Werewolf by Night has no long range attack, does he? He's going to have to get up close. He's going to have to swing those claws and use those teeth and use that size. If Ripley can keep the distance, she's going to be able to bring him down eventually. And if he gets close, she can hit him with the stun rod. Let's not forget, she also used that power loader. Of course, I'm going to mention the power loader. It's everywhere. And she uses it iconically. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily there's going to be a future forklift power loader here on the set of this, but is there going to be some sort of heavy machinery or heavy gear that she's going to be able to understand? Are we on a construction site, perhaps? Is this an area where she's going to be able to use a crane or something of that effect, protect herself inside the cage of it? Obviously, she's going to know how to use it. If you could use the power loader, I think you could drop Ellen Ripley on any construction site and she could operate any piece of machinery under the sun that you find there. So will she be able to find a heavy piece of machinery that a smart person would be looking to use in order to bring down the Werewolf by Night? I say the answer is Yes, if she can't find exactly what she's looking for, she'll find something and improvise with it. And also the future guns. She's from the future. She has access to pulse rifles, lest we forget. And those are like, what, they shoot laser beams, right? They can singe and burn. And one thing I know from watching Star Wars is that when you cauterize the wounds, it affects the healing factor a little bit more. And if you can shoot somebody with lasers that can puncture them, it's going to make healing that much slower. And on top of it, she duct taped a flamethrower to her pulse rifle in the movie. She will modify and make her own weapons as she needs to. Do I smell burning dog hair? Yes, I do. And at the end of the day, Ripley is a little bit braver than the constantly being captured werewolf by night. She went into, because Newt, right, the little girl, got taken away by the xenomorphs and taken into their central hive. Did she just take off? No. She says, I'm not losing another one. She geared up. She walked into the central hive where there were xenomorph after xenomorph after xenomorph to get Newt back. And she killed everything that moved. She absolutely annihilated not just a xenomorph, like all the xenomorph at one time by herself. Now, that was with a little bit of prep time, sure. But my goodness, could you see the werewolf by night walking into a central hive of alien xenomorphs and doing anything but getting murdered in the most horrific way possible? Because I sure could not. At the end of the day, the use of future equipment, the use of current equipment, but in a future way, and her improvisational abilities with those equipments are what's going to carry her to victory. And that's my point number three.
So much to push back on. Okay, first of all, I'd love to see this movie you're talking about, Ray. It sounds fantastic. The one I saw where she like rescued Newt, she took out using the flamethrower all those like eggs that had the facehuggers in them, that which then absolutely drove the alien queen nuts, where she ripped herself off from that birthing thing and then came after him. Iconic scene. Nothing like what
it's a lot of xenomorphs, James.
What's that?
It's a lot of xenomorphs.
Those weren't xenomorphs.
I use the term loosely.
Yeah, I know. Those were facehuggers in the eggs that were about to come in and she killed
strongest
them.
Okay. Ones there are. It's tough.
Now, yeah, evidently. Now, kind of some interesting things. Remember, Werewolf by Night, he doesn't lose his intelligence. Jack Russell's still there, so he still has all of his human intelligence and all of that fighting experience, which is a lot if you think about it over all the years. On top of that, he's got a healing factor. So sure, let's say she gets some good shots on him. Well, then he heals pretty much right away. She does not. Just keep that in mind, too. Werewolf by Night, he's fought some high-powered beings with great weapons. Again, he's fought Sabretooth in terms of ferocity like a xenomorph. I'll take Sabretooth over xenomorph any day. He's even taken out Iron Man. When you can take out Tony Stark, I should say, high-tech stuff's not going to really be a big concern for you. The power loader, I love it. I love it. I love it. Unfortunately, it's super slow. And Werewolf by Night has super speed. Not a good combination there. The pulse rifles, race to Canis. They don't shoot lasers. They shoot pulses of bullets. They shoot there. It's a high-speed bullet shooter. Tons and tons of bullets. The bullets are really, really small.
If you think I understand science, James Gavsey, you did not see me in high school.
I barely see it now. Okay, and then finally, actually, that's all I got because I got to get to my point number three with this. For point number three, don't hate me for this, but Ripley's got some weaknesses. I don't want to call them weaknesses. They're more like limitations when it comes to this fight. Now, first of all, she's only human. I just got to say it. She's really tough. I get it. At the end of the day, she's just human. No super strength, no regeneration, no enhanced senses. Look, Werewolf by Night, super strength, speed, given this huge edge. He can land, literally, if he lands one hit on Ripley, she's not bouncing back from that if it's a really good superpower to hit. And while she's struggling to regain her senses, catch her breath, guess who's ready for round two and is going to pounce again? This is something that's crazy because, again, he's got a Wolverine-level healing factor. This is bad because Ripley does not. Her combat skills, they're really, really impressive, but they're limited. She can hold her own with weapons, but she's no martial artist. Her fighting style is mostly improvisation. That's cool. She uses tools, firepower, smarts rather than hand-to-hand combat. But once they're in close quarters, Ripley's toast, claws and fangs, with someone who can take out some of the best fighters in the Marvel Universe, which I'll get to in a second, a Werewolf by Night has, this is going to be a bad night for Ripley. Okay, now, she's also vulnerable to ambushes. And who wouldn't be? You know, we saw this in Aliens, the 1986 movie. Her survival really relies heavily on tracking xenomorphs, you know, kind of that beeping cool tech and all that kind of stuff, using helmet lights, kind of being at least one step ahead or at least kind of knowing where they are. That's not going to happen because Werewolf by Night's got those super senses. He's going to be able to locate her really, really quick before she knows where he is. That's just a fact. She relies on tech and firepower. I get it. It's a random encounter. I hope she has something on her, but we don't know what. Werewolf by Night doesn't need that tech because he is that living weapon. She's got limited stamina. Look, she gets tired. She's tough as you want. You know what? I'll put her up there as one of the best superhero, like heroes in film of all time. She's absolutely incredible. Look, Ripley's absolutely fantastic. I'll put her up there as one of the greatest heroes in all of cinema. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I'd love to say it, but she's human. Her stamina is limited. She gets tired. She gets hurt. This is something that's going to be a big factor because, again, Werewolf by Night's got super stamina and can go for hours and hours at full power. On top of that, she has no experience with werewolves. Just kind of a fun thing I wanted to throw in there. And she can be caught off guard. This happened a number of times to her. Ray, I'd love to say she always saw what was coming, knew how to predict everything. No, she got caught off by guard quite a few times. That's not a slam on her. It's just kind of a fact for the whole thing. Now, this is the other thing. She really relies on a large group of people being around her when fighting xenomorphs, at least at first, meaning she does a great job at staying alive because other people in the group get targeted before her. In this situation, she's fighting solo and doesn't have that advantage. On top of that, she has two wins against xenomorphs that came kind of at least partly with battlefield removal, where she positioned them from an airlock where they got sucked into space before she kind of got the win. And that's not the scenario in this battle. The judge has said it. And she also has a loss, or at least a draw, with a xenomorph in Alien 3, where she had to kill herself in order to kill the xenomorph that was coming out of her chest. Heroic death, but it's a loss. Also, in case you missed it, Ripley has no healing factor. Did I mention that maybe 100 times? Yeah, I'd have to say it again. Now, in terms of experience in fighting, the Werewolf by Night has wins. This is going to be cool. Has wins, actual wins against Sabretooth, where he absolutely decimated him in a fight. He has wins over two different versions of Ghost Rider. He beat the Hulk. It was, I believe, the Savage Hulk, by tearing his throat out, and he went down before he could heal from it. That's right. During a fight where he got numerous times hit by the Hulk, he still got the one win by tearing his throat out. He beat Spider-Woman easily. He took out Iron Man with one punch. As good as Ripley's exosuit could be, that loader, it's nothing compared to Iron Man tech. And Werewolf by Night one-shot him. In a really fun encounter, he absolutely demolished Deadpool. Great read. And as I mentioned earlier, he took out several samurai who were trained monster hunters, specifically trained to kill him, who were in power suits, who all had swords made of silver. He beat them very easily. He beat the creature known as the Wendigo, who is a Hulk-class supernatural monster. And because it's Shocktober, I got those. And he even completely beat Dracula in a fight. To put this in perspective, ask yourself how Ripley would deal against a stronger, faster, more durable xenomorph with a healing factor who had a ton of fighting experience against other opponents way better armed and more powerful than her, who also had a Wolverine-style healing factor. Just put this all together. The answer is she's not going to do well. All of that is my point number three.
You're asking me how she would do against that type of a xenomorph, and I would tell you right now, she would absolutely win that fight against that xenomorph. And I love James waiting till the very last second of his point to bring up a bunch of battles that he is obviously not telling us the full story on, and how many people helped him in those fights, what was actually happening in those fights. I can't even find evidence that he fought the Hulk to victory at any point. The closest I have is Red Hulk, and they barely communicated with each other. So I'm going to have to just like say out loud, nuh-uh. So as far as this last point I have to make here, you talk about, Jack Russell maintains his full human intellect and emotion when he becomes the werewolf. Well, then what, James, is the lycanthropic rage that you were talking about? That implies a complete loss of control. That's what rage is. That's what lycanthropic rage is losing control, seeing red, and making an attack when maybe you should know better. And you brought up some great points of where Ellen Ripley was caught off guard. But you might notice she didn't die from those encounters, and often she won them. She still overcame being caught off guard and lived to fight another day and win her fights. Thank you for making a great point for me, James. Look, I think Ripley is going to absolutely have her hands full in this matchup. I absolutely believe that Werewolf by Night is going to be a difficult opponent for her. But I think using her science, using her weapons, I don't think Werewolf by Night's going to want to jump in on somebody shooting plasma rifles. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Werewolf by Night is going to immediately just go for a head-on attack with somebody rocking future tech and flamethrowers. That doesn't track in my mind. So I think that what's going to end up happening here is we're going to have a style of fight that is often found in like a Resident Evil boss fight. And what I mean by that is they're going to be kind of a more open indoor location. And as they're running around, because remember, Ripley can dodge alien xenomorphs who move extremely fast from all different directions. And she's able to dodge a lot of the times from those attacks because she can see them coming. But I think Ripley's going to figure out that the building that they're in is not particularly stable. And I think that she's going to lure Werewolf by Night around, barely getting away from him, using machinery and weaponry to her advantage, and she's going to blow out every single support beam in this entire place, using her tracking device to figure out where he is. And I think a very logical conclusion is Ripley's going to be there at the front door of this barn or whatever the heck we're talking about here. Werewolf by Night is going to get hold of her. She's going to say something really snappy, and then she's going to use her pulse rifle to blow out the last support beam, dropping the entire house down on Werewolf by Night, incapacitating him for 2 minutes without a question. And she's going to be able to walk away safely. With Ripley, she never truly gets away, but in this moment, she will be able to declare victory after literally dropping the house on the werewolf and get out of Dodge.
Interesting scenario. On a side note, just because, you know, people want to fact check, everything I just stated actually happened within the comic books. Those were all true victories. And just like Ripley, just like Werewolf by Night, you got a character with a long history. They will have some losses as well, not taking away anything from either one of these characters. All right, these are great points. AJ, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself, and it's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what AJ has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
We have one of our newer patrons here in the Who Would Win group. We are going to be saying hello to Enrique Lopez. Enrique Lopez, it is your day to shine a spotlight on yourself.
Look, Enrique, I'm not going to make things easy for you. You know, I get it. It's one of your first times in doing this for the Patreon community. You know what? In the because it's Halloween, we just got to go there. Enrique, I'm sorry about this. You got to take on Solomon Grundy.
Solomon Grundy versus Enrique Lopez. Now, this is going to be very, very interesting. People don't know this about Enrique Lopez, but he does have not like Flash level speed, but he has super speed, more like a Quicksilver, maybe slightly less than that. Now, that really helps him run errands on a day-to-day basis. Like, oh, I got to stop by and mail a few letters at the post office. And within about 17 seconds, he's back home again. Now, he's very hungry afterwards, of course, but he gets the job done. He's the guy you want to, if like you have that TaskRabbit service, this is a guy who could build your IKEA cabinets in like a minute and 20 seconds. I say a minute 20 and not faster because those directions are very hard to make sense of. Let's just keep it real. But Enrique Lopez is going to use his super speed against Solomon Grundy. And he's going to do what Spider-Man did in the Civil War movie. He's going to get a piece of rope and he's going to hook it and tie it to one of Solomon Grundy's shoelaces. And then he's going to run really, really fast around him, wrap up his legs, and then push him over using not an infinite mass punch. We'll call it a limited mass punch, because he doesn't quite move as fast as all that. So using a limited mass punch, he's going to knock over Solomon Grundy, finish tying him up, at least win that way, because you're not going to keep Solomon Grundy down for too very long. But Enrique Lopez, you did it today. Congrats on your super speed.
That is the only way you can really count on beating Solomon Grundy. Congratulations, Enrique. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. All right, AJ, look, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process, tell us the story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Ripley and Werewolf by Night.
All right, well, if you know me, you know it's going to be a story, so...
Can't wait.
Here we go. So Ripley is hurtling through space on the Nostromo. She's just defeated the Xenomorph in heroic fashion. She's making her way back to Earth, and a transmission comes through. Beep, 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 beep. And she sees it come across the screen. You're invited to a killer party, October 31st, 2125. She says, gosh, you know, after that ordeal, a little R&R, a little fun would be great. What she didn't realize what that was, that it was literally going to be a killer party. So she shows up, she goes to this manor, and this is a four or five story manor, a giant mansion. As she goes in, she takes a right, heads to the ballroom, and when she opens the doors, the double doors to go in, she does so. She, of course, shows up all dressed up. It's a Halloween party, but she's Ripley, right? So she's carrying her real stun gun, her real weaponry and technology, because that's the best way to look the part. So she throws open the doors, ready to have some fun and forget about the events of the past. And as she does, She sees some beings looking up at her. The whole room basically stops, and Jason's there, looks up at her. Freddy's there, looks up at her. The werewolf of the night looks up at her. Like, all these different iconic killers are at this killer party. She doesn't know any better. She thinks it's a costume party. She goes in, starts to mingle. Everyone kind of like looks at her, shrugs, like, okay, whatever. I guess maybe she's the killer of some sort. They kind of like don't really give her any bother because she doesn't really look harmful or anything. So they go back to having fun. So she kind of strolls over to the punch bowl. She passes it by, notices a cooler next to it, pops it open. There it is, Coors Light. She grabs the Coors Light, cracks it, throws it back, and just kind of looks around to see who she can mingle with. So she walks over to Werewolf by Night, thinking he looks like a, you know, fun fellow to chat with. And so it being her thinking it's a costume party, she kind of grabs him by the scruff, like the back of the neck, and she's like, "Let me see what you look like under that mask." And she pulls, and it's just hair, right? And the werewolf pulls back, and it's kind of like, what the hell is that? Like, so the werewolf throws back his arms, arches his back, and howls as loud as he can into the air. This makes everyone else take notice, and they're like, no, forget this. Like, we're out of here. So the place kind of like clears out. Ellen's standing there kind of a little bit stunned, like, what's going on? And the wolf like rears its claws and it's ready for the fight. So Ellen is not easily taken off guard. So as the wolf lunges towards her, she kind of throws a table in his way as she can get out her stun gun to try to stun him. But the werewolf is extremely quick, of course. And Werewolf by Night comes at her and takes a big swipe. But as we know, Ripley can dodge such things. She's done it before. This is like her nightmare all over again with the xenomorph, with this hairy wolf beast. And she realizes that this thing is real. It's not someone in a costume. So she tries to hit it with the stun gun after she dodges. She successfully does it and starts to make her way out of the ballroom. If there's anything Ripley knows, she knows that she has to figure out to use the location to her advantage. She's not going to stand here and fight this werewolf by night toe to toe. So she starts to head out. She knows she needs to get to the top of the building. She always has a contingency plan. Do that. She's got to get to the top. So they're fighting. The wolf is like running into things and tearing holes in the walls. And he gets a few hits in and some scratches in, but nothing lethal. And Ripley's, you know, as she is, she almost gets energized with each wound. So they're making their way up to the second level. To the third level, Ripley pulls out her flamethrower in a extremely smart move. She flamethrowers the floor as the wolf's coming at her, and it jumps, but she flips back and kind of does a somersault kick, kicks the werewolf by night into the open floor. So he crashes down and through the floor below it, all the way down to the first floor. This gives Ripley time enough to get up into the attic. And she sees that there is a hole on the roof. She knows the wolf is not going to stay down there. It's coming. So she goes up to the roof. Beep, 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 beep. Hits a few things on her watch. What could it be? Suddenly, the ship shows up above. And slowly descending is the power loader. Just as the power loader lands on the roof and Ripley is getting inside, Werewolf by Night shows up back on the roof. Angry as hell. It's just like furious that summer's salt kick worked on it, and they're now head to head. Ripley's no longer running. She's in the power loader, and the werewolf kind of lunges and dives at her, and she grabs it by both arms with the claws and like clamps them shut and severs the werewolf by night's arms at the elbows. It kind of collapses to the floor. Its quick healing process is already beginning. She grabs it by the head and pops its head like a water balloon, splattering blood and viscera everywhere. She kind of like stops and lets down for a minute. She does not know about the Werewolf by Night's healing abilities. So, as we know, the arms start to grow back, the head's growing back. Ripley sees this and kind of gets stunned for a minute. The wolf gets back up to its full self and prepares to attack. And Ripley at this point is stunned because even the xenomorph would not have come back from something like that. So she's kind of stunned for a second. The werewolf kind of runs, does a leap, jumps into the air, grabs her head. This is like a, if you've seen a somersault throw in soccer, grabs her head, flipping over, detaches it from her body and throws it as far as it can, as if trying to score a corner kick in a soccer game. And as we have established, Ripley does not have the healing abilities, and thus losing her head also loses the battle. So the winner of this match is the Werewolf by Night.
And there you have it. Wow, I gotta tell you, this was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. Thankfully, you know, Ray did what he normally does. But man, AJ, you repped Ripley really, really well with how resourceful she was. You know, how she had that quick thinking, something Ray really didn't lean on. I mean, great job of repping Ripley in this battle. But then again, this is what it comes down to. As great as a character is, if you don't have a healing factor and you're up against a creature that has super strength and enhanced physicals and a healing factor, you're going to come out a little bit short at the end of the fight. This was absolutely incredible. Love the story. You did not disappoint whatsoever, AJ, but we got to see something. Ray, you did kind of a good job, I'd say, today. How do you feel with this loss?
Normally, I would complain that a judge doesn't listen to the points that I am making on the show. And now I have to say, James, did you even hear anything that I said the entirety of this show? All of AJ's points in that story were directly pulled from direct points that I made, because that's what good judges are supposed to do. Now, the best judges are supposed to find me winning at the end of the day. So AJ will work on some judge training for you before the next time we have you on. But that was an absolutely phenomenal story. I could see it playing out almost exactly like he was saying, with the exception being that obviously Ellen Ripley would have won.
You know, I'm wondering, because when you set up the mansion and everything else and the other characters, I mean, I can almost see this on Disney Plus up until the point of where he rips off Ripley's head, soccer ball style. that was actually a nice touch. I was like, oh, this is a Disney Plus show, and it's not whatsoever. But still, absolutely fantastic. AJ, again, you did not disappoint. You came on. We had high expectations for you. This was an out-of-the-box type of matchup, and you did not disappoint whatsoever. So please come back on the show and just bring that magic back once more. Until we see you, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
Yeah, you can find me in the Van Ryder Games Discord. You can find a link to that on our website at vanrydergames.com. That's where I'm most active. Follow our socials on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Van Ryder Games. That's Ryder with a Y. And I had a blast. Thanks for having me. Anytime you guys want to do it again, just hit me up and I'd love to do it.
Heck yes. All right, Ray, again, you came up a little short, but you really repped Ripley in a really great way. So you should feel, I guess, kind of good with that. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
I'm obviously disappointed that I was not able to see Ellen Ripley to victory today. I knew walking in that on paper, I was the underdog coming into the matchup. As, quite frankly, as James puts these matchups together, I find to be the case 98% of the time. So why do I have such a great winning percentage anyway? Gosh willing, you give me the Goliath in one of these matchups, and I stomp from pillar to post every single time. Now, obviously, I thought the judge did a great job with his story, and a terrible job with his final decision. But the image of a somersault soccer flip decapitation, quite honestly, really took the wind out of my sails of rage, because that's awesome. And I have no problem with that existing in any form of media or literature of any kind at all. Obviously, Ripley should have won this matchup, disappointing as it is. That being said, we did have on the record, one way or another, the possibility of a Rey as a final girl in the game at some point in the nebulous future. That's enough that I'll be able to sleep very well tonight on, despite the fact that this verdict did not go my way.
And we can find you.
Don't worry about that. Don't find me this week. I don't want to see you.
Wow. That's quite the marketing effort.
You can find
right
me
there,
on the Who Would Win show. We have a catalog of like 200, nearly 300 episodes. Go listen to that.
Way to win the fans over.
Sorry. You can find me on a podcast called Knowing is Half the Podcast with TV's Gina Ippolito and one Robert Clark Chan talking about, believe it or not, cartoons specifically from the 80s and 90s, including G.I. Joe and other shows as well, because we've watched like every terrible cartoon maybe ever made at this point. You can find us on a very recent upcoming episode with one Delvin Cox, you know him from the show, talking about an episode of 1955's Lassie, not a cartoon, but, you know, good enough. And it's a witch-themed Halloween episode. You better believe we brought it there. Find it wherever you podcast. But don't Who find me that? On social media, because I don't like you.
Who knew Lassie was a witch? It I'm assuming crazy. That's what the, happened during that
the
episode.
The swerves are a Vince Russo level.
Fantastic. Look, you can find me on X, a.k.a. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Cicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.